Coleman and Astor by Michael McStay, with Stephen Thorne as Inspector Ronald Coleman and Joe Dunlop as Sergeant Fred Astor. A Day at the Races.
Constable Trench!
Oh, Inspector Coleman. Oh, good morning, sir.
I'm sorry if I made you jump.
Oh, it's quite all right, sir. I was miles away.
Listening, no doubt, to the pounding of horses' hooves on the green turf.
Beg your pardon, sir?
Studying form.
Oh.
Runners and riders.
Yes.
It says, runners and riders for 3 meetings.
Yes. Trying to find the elusive winner. Takes a lot of concentration, sir.
I'm sure it does, Trench.
A bit of a hobby of mine, sir.
Everyone should have a hobby, Trench.
Oh, yes, sir.
On the other hand, Constable, do you think the main operations room of a major police station is the best place to pursue this particular interest?
I was on my tea break, sir.
Tea break?
Everybody has a tea break, sir.
Do they?
Well, I mean, it's a sort of an entitlement, sir.
And when are you sort of entitled to this period of relaxation? Perhaps while pursuing a joyrider at 90 miles an hour through the Tottenham High Road?
No, sir.
Maybe while chasing a mugger past the Greasy Spoon Cafe, you think, good grief, at 11:15.
No, sir.
Time for a pot of Lapsang Soo Chong and a bar of Oliver.
No, sir.
No, Constable. In the unlikely event that you have absolutely nothing else to do,
yes,
you might go to the canteen, which has been custom-built for just such an occasion.
Sorry, sir.
Yes, well, just think about it, Trench. Everybody needs a break, but you don't sit here studying form. How would it look if Superintendent Beecham came through?
Nobody ever comes through here, sir.
Well, I do.
Yes, sir.
Now, if your tea break is over, put your mind to those. 32 break-ins on the Grafton estate over the past 3 months. It'll be kids. Put those through that wonderful computer of yours. Find out which ones are connected. Those that are may throw up something to give a lead to which kids. The ones that miss school on certain days and the... Well, you know the sort of thing.
Yes, sir.
When you've come up with something, get it to me and I may reward you with 5 minutes for a cup of tea.
Inspector Coleman, sir.
Yes, Constable.
The Grafton estate, sir. We've nicked 2 lads.
What?
A couple of televisions turned up on a market stall. The guy was straight and he fingered one of the lads.
Why wasn't I told?
I don't know, sir.
When was this?
2 days ago, sir.
2 days?
Breakdown in communications, I expect, sir.
All of them, Trench?
Sir?
These 2 youths committed all these crimes?
No, sir. They admitted, I believe it was 23.
Then find out who did the other 9, Trench.
Graham. Mike or Michael, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Check them both. And the third is Peacock. No first name, but known as One Lung. Yes, that's right.
Fred?
Oh, morning, sir. Excuse me. No, he's not Chinese, not as far as I know. I think it's because he's only got one lung. Yes. Yeah, I suppose he does cough a lot.
Fred, I want a word. My office.
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry, I was interrupted. What? Yeah, I know it's not much to go on, but it's all I've got. No, I haven't done anything as far as I know. It's what's known as crime prevention. Catch them before they do... If you would. Thanks. Yes, Sergeant Astor at Southant Central. No, South Hants Central. It's nowhere near South End. Thank you. Good God, they're meant to be on our side. Yes, sir?
Fred, where the hell are you? Get in here.
I'm on my way. Oh, dear, what's getting to him this morning?
Yes, ma'am. Not at all. Come in.
Sir?
Yeah, I'll come straight up. No, ma'am, I won't get lost. I left a string trail the last time I... No, ma'am. I realised it was a joke and I was just... Right away. I wonder what she wants.
Babs?
Superintendent Beecham.
Probably got a shopping list for you.
Now, that's not funny, Fred.
No, sir. Is it a bad morning, sir?
Oh, it's a bad week, Fred. Do you know that Margaret has to travel 6 miles to get my breakfast smokies?
Oh, I can probably get those for you, sir. I have a fishmonger.
Yeah, but they're not fresh, Fred.
Well, they're smoked, sir.
Yeah, but I like them smoked and then eaten on the same day.
Ah, well, Scotland's a long way away, sir.
Yes. And then there's my knock-and-do single malt. I can't get it, Fred.
Oh, that is a problem, sir.
My man said there was no demand for it. So I said that I was there demanding it.
What did he say, sir?
Well, he said he would order me a crate, but I said I couldn't afford a crate. And why couldn't he order a crate and keep them in for me? And then he said he was only in a small way and couldn't afford to carry that amount of stock.
That's quite a problem, sir.
Mm.
Was that what you wanted to see me about?
No. No, it wasn't. Where have you been? I've been trying to find you all morning.
As it happens, I've been in a pub.
Yeah, exactly. I was given a message just after 9 o'clock to the effect that Sergeant Astor had gone to the pub. Then I discover Constable Trench with his feet up studying a racing form. I sometimes get the impression that we're running some sort of holiday camp here.
A friend of mine wanted to have a word. Business.
Oh, business. Well, so I suppose you restricted yourself to just a couple of pints.
As a matter of fact, sir, I only had a coffee. It was a bit too early for him, and I hate drinking alone.
I'm sorry, Fred. But what am I supposed to think when I get a message like that?
Well, that certainly wasn't the message I left, sir. I explained exactly where I was and what I was doing.
Well, what was it? Anything I should know about?
Not at the moment, sir. I'm putting out a few feelers.
Right. I've got to see the super, but I want to talk about communications, Fred. It's not only garbled messages. I just found a damn great file on my desk that was cleared up a couple of days ago. Heaven knows what else I haven't been told about. I don't like wasting my time. It makes me titchy.
What with that and the smoky, sir?
I said I was sorry, Fred.
Yes, sir.
I'm delighted to hear it, Inspector. A nice spectacular crime with a nice spectacular arrest may give the tabloids a field day, but a long succession of petty crime like that on the Grafton estate eventually undermines the public's confidence. We don't win any promotion for that sort of thing, but we earn a lot of respect.
My officers will be pleased, ma'am.
Good. Now, what about you? How are you getting on? Settling in all right?
Oh, yes, thank you.
I'm pleased. As you said nothing, I took that to be a good sign.
I suppose so.
No problems, then? No complaints?
Well, there's too much crime.
Oh, yes. Very different from what you've been used to.
Oh, we got our share of excitement in Scotland, ma'am.
Yes. And Mrs. Coleman?
She makes her own excitement.
I mean, is she settling in? Domestic stress is an important factor in determining the effective functioning of my offices.
And Margaret brings her own stress with her.
Really? Well, how would you like a day out, Inspector?
What exactly did you have in mind, ma'am?
A day at the races.
Ah, no, I don't...
Newbury?
Well, that's Berkshire, ma'am.
We're usually invited to send a small detachment to help out. Half a dozen uniformed officers and one or two plain clothes. I'm assured it's a very pleasant day out.
Well, I'm not really a racing man. Now, if they ever need any help at the county ground...
Cricket?
Ah, that's more my game. One of the few good reasons for leaving Scotland.
Yes, of course. Not much good cricket up there, is there?
No.
Suppose they have difficulty in finding a level pitch.
Yes.
The criminal mind never ceases to fascinate me, Inspector. But the machinations of the England selectors are sometimes impenetrable. Can you explain the Gower business to me?
No, I don't think even the so-called selectors themselves can...
No. Well, as it happens, I often have to devote the occasional hour or two on a sunny afternoon to ensuring that no serious offence is being committed over at Bannister's Park. Might well be a good thing if you met some of the officials. We might even go together.
Oh, well, yes. Yes, of course.
Good. In the meantime, Newbury Racecourse this Saturday. I'll let you have the final arrangements later.
Here we are.
Thank you. Do you do food?
Yes, sir. There's nuts, roasted and plain, or mixed, a variety of crisps.
No, I meant...
And pokey scratchings.
No, I meant meals.
To my mind, sir, a man comes into a pub for a drink. If he wants to eat, he should go to a restaurant.
I see.
On the other hand, the wife has been known to offer nourishment to livers in need of reinforcement against the constant onslaught of alcohol.
Well, if you're sure it's not too much trouble, what a very strange man.
That was almost poetic, Jamie.
Good evening, Fred. I didn't see you sidle in.
Where did you learn all these big words?
I worked in the library during my last time in Barlinnie. Read the dictionary from cover to cover. Well, what'll you have?
Oh, I'll nurse a pint, thanks. Oh, you're never going to get rich, Jamie. There goes another dissatisfied customer.
I bought a pub to sell booze. I can't be doing all those puffed-up places where they sell you glasses of vinegar along with two twists of lettuce, a bit of tomato and a sliver of ham and call themselves a wine bar.
The money's in food these days.
Aye, and whose fault is that? You and your bloody breathalyzer. I mean, how am I going to make a living in a country pub when you're waiting outside with a team of coppers waiting to lock up my best customers?
I don't make the laws.
Well, that was that bloody Labour bunch. I was inside at the time or I'd have voted them out.
You voted Tory all your life anyway.
Yeah, well, I've always believed in private enterprise. That's where I like that Thatcher woman. A society where there was a lot of idle buggers making a lot of money, and them too idle to look after it properly, which let in the likes of me.
Crime's still on the increase today, Jamie.
Ah, but it's not what it was, Fred. It's all kids knocking off cars, nicking a couple of quid's worth of gear, and drugs. No, I'm glad I got out when I did. I never forget that.
Well, what do I...
No, have that one on the house, all time's sake.
Oh, well, cheers.
Cheers.
Mm. Well, like I say, you'll never get rich.
I'll do all right. I'll send the wife over to those two in a minute. She does good, honest food. She'll make the apologies and they'll feel obliged to order after what I told them.
Method in your madness, eh?
Always was, Sergeant.
Shh.
Oh, sorry, Fred.
Ah, yeah, same old method. That's what finally did for you.
Never could learn new tricks, could I?
Ah, well, that's in the past. What about these characters of yours? Are they in yet?
Not yet. Probably stop for one on the way. Have you got anything on them?
One of them. Edward Durbridge. He's got some small form, but the other two are clean.
Well, you take my word for it. They're a very heavy mob. They don't deal in halfpennies.
I'm sure she means well. But I'm not a racing man.
Well, you'll have a pleasant day out. There's bound to be hospitality of some kind.
Oh, I can never see the point of those poor animals chasing each other round in circles.
You enjoy riding?
Well, yes, a good gallop in the morning, the mists rising off the heather. Not watching a bunch of little men, bottoms in the air and noses stuck up the rear of the horse in front.
Well, you probably won't see any of it. Excuse me, you're in my way. You'll spend the entire day closeted over a whiskey or two with the clerk of the course and sundry police officers talking boring shop.
I've got enough to do solving crime without wasting time talking about it.
Could you stand over there?
Yeah, and I mean real crime, not fake fortune tellers and fraudulent tipsters.
Well, I went to a fortune teller once, years ago at Epsom, Madame Zorina. She told me I was going to meet a tall, dark, handsome stranger.
Huh.
As it happened, I did.
Oh.
Oh, no, it wasn't you. You came along later.
Who was it?
Doesn't matter now. Now would you stand over there? Thank you.
She's a cricket person, by the way.
Who?
Babs. Superintendent Beecham.
I thought we were talking about racing.
No, we were talking about Babs sending me off for a day at the races. She's also suggested we might find a moment to pop along to the county ground together. All in the line of duty, of course.
Of course.
Now, that I would enjoy.
Together?
Well, she'd have to introduce me.
But you can manage on your own at the races.
What do you mean?
You don't need anybody to hold your hand there.
Margaret, I've no idea what you're talking about.
Could you possibly drink your drink somewhere else?
I was only trying to be sociable. I don't see a lot of you.
Oh, well, a policeman's lot is not a happy one.
Look, has something gone wrong today?
Not as far as I know. Is she married?
Who?
Superintendent Beecham.
No, she's not.
Now, I want a spoon from that drawer.
Sorry.
Is she attractive?
Haven't noticed.
Oh, don't be silly, Ronnie. Of course you've noticed. You noticed whether she was married or not.
Well, yes, I suppose she is. Striking.
With good legs.
Well, that was a joke. I've never looked at her legs.
Of course you have.
What has got into you, Margaret? Yes, Babs, Superintendent Beecham is an attractive woman.
Striking.
Strikingly attractive. And at the moment, my promotion depends on her, and I'm happy to say that there are signs that we might get on well together.
Do you want to eat this evening?
What?
Then would you please get out of my kitchen?
What are you drinking?
Hmm?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, you. What do you want?
Oh, no, I'm all right, thank you. I was just on my way, anyway.
Not before I bought you a drink.
Look, it's...
Name's Peacock, Cherry Peacock. Are you a friend of the governor?
No.
You are...
Asta. Fred Astor.
So what'll you have, Fred?
No, I don't want another drink.
Well, suit yourself, just trying to be friendly. Seeing as you're a friend of the governor and on your own.
No, I'm not a friend of the governor.
Oh, yeah, you said, no. You in the same line, then?
What do you mean?
Well, he's a villain, isn't he, R. Jamie?
Is he?
Yeah, I sussed that. But you would know, being a friend.
No, I came in here for a beer.
And a chat to the governor and one or two questions.
Well, if you'll excuse me.
Are you the law?
Look, you're starting to annoy me.
Look, don't chance it, matey. I'm mob-handed. But then you know that too, because you was asking questions about me and me mates.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't worry about it. You was very discreet. It would have taken an expert. But then I am an expert. Me and me mates, where we come from, your life might depend on knowing who's talking about you.
And where do you come from?
I asked you first. Anyway, you know where we come from. Your mate told you.
Once and for all.
Oi, Jamie, come over here a minute.
Look, I must warn you.
Yes, sir, what can I get you?
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. No, it doesn't matter, Jamie, forget it. I must warn you. You're the law.
Fred just dropped into...
Now, look here, Mr.
It doesn't matter. You're a copper. You see, I can always smell a villain or a copper, and I've got to be honest, you smell more like a villain. And if you was a villain, then I wanted to know what you was doing here. But as you're a copper, well, you're just going about your lawful business, as it were.
I'm sorry, sir.
Oi, Ted, Mike, come over here, meet a mate of mine. Jamie, my old son, set him up again and give our friend here another pint.
I've already told you.
You're not worried about driving, are you? Look, here, Mike Graham, Ted Durbridge. This is Fred. Fred, what was it?
Astor.
Astor? It's a bloody flower, ain't it?
He's a copper, Mike. That's what it's been about.
The flower of the force.
Look, leave it out, Jerry.
Just being friendly, Ted.
There's three large and a pint.
But I said I didn't want one.
Just drink it. Well, come on, Fred. Join us. You'll be all right. We're just here for the races. We don't mean anybody any harm, do we? Oh, come on, Ted. Smile, do we?
You're a bloody Bert, you are.
Look, don't pay him any attention, Fred. We've had a good day, me and Mike. But Ted here has done a bundle. Won't take advice, you see. Well, that's his trouble. Well, come on, Fred. Come on over to the table. Bring your beer.
I'm sorry, Fred. Maybe you'd better...
Jamie, phone the number, will you? You want Constable Trench. Get him here. It'll take an hour, but get him here.
Sergeant Astor is a big boy now, Constable. No, I'm quite sure everything's all right, but you did well to advise me. Keep me in touch. Yeah, I'm at home all evening.
Not trouble, I hope.
No, I don't think so. Constable Trench. I'm not sure whether Fred Astor has fallen among thieves literally or has just got himself too drunk to drive and has sent for a lift home.
Well, there's nothing you can do about it now. Come and finish your coffee.
No, so what did I say to you, Mike?
He said, that horse is so intelligent he'll outthink the other buggers, and me, like a mug, I listened to him and I put a bundle on it.
And so, go on, what happened?
Up goes the tape, and that bloody horse jumps the first circuit and then won't pass the finishing line to go round again.
And I swear to you, Fred, it's stopped stone dead, like it knows where the camera is and is waiting to have its photo took. The bloody jockey's kicking it, nothing. Stands there with a smile on its face thinking it's won.
Yeah, and I'm well choked.
And I can't stop laughing. I told him that was a smart horse, but I didn't reckon it was that smart.
Took the shortest bloody route to the winning post.
Oh, you ain't even smiling, Fred. Come on, drink up. It's your shout next.
I don't want that enough.
Right, that's it, Jerry, enough. You've got to screw everything.
You want out, Ted, so get out. You're a pain, you are. We're having a drink with the locals, that's all.
Well, I'm saying that's enough.
And I'm saying we have one more drink with Fred and then we put him in his car and send him home.
No more.
Excuse me. Sarge, are you all right?
Well. Good evening, Constable.
A sergeant? Your friend is a sergeant?
Terry.
I've got the car, Sarge.
Have you come to give him a lift home? Well, isn't that a lucky thing?
Come on, it's okay, Sarge.
I'm all right.
Do you fancy a drink before you take your friend home?
Oh, shut your bloody mouth, Jerry.
Come on, take it easy, Sarge. You'll be all right.
Oh, excuse me. Oh,
no, that's all right. Come on.
I do beg your pardon.
I'm sorry, Terry. I'm all right now.
Okay, come on. Ted!
Not now, Bernard. Not now. Bugger off.
Could you possibly not pace up and down, sir?
What?
It's making me feel a wee bit dizzy.
Oh, good grief. Oh. Well, you'd better sit down yourself.
Oh, thanks, sir.
What on earth were you thinking of, Fred?
I'm trying to explain, sir.
Well, you can handle your drink.
They were spiking them.
Drinking with known villains?
You weren't there, sir.
And what does that mean?
I've known it to happen. They were having fun. What they think's fun. I was never going to get out of there.
You're a grown man.
There's a kind of person... I've had one piece of information on my desk this morning. Somebody at CRO used their head. He followed up the nickname One Lung. His name isn't Peacock, it's Paisley. One Lung Paisley. He's got more form than Desert Orchid.
Who?
It's a horse, sir.
Oh.
Paisley, Peacock, is a psychotic. He lost a lung as a result of a fight in the scrubs. Oh, you're never going to understand this, sir.
I'm listening.
There's a kind of villain who hates coppers. Well, anyone in authority, but coppers are special. I've seen it happen. I wasn't going to get out of that place in one piece. Once he knew I was a copper, he... Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Not making much sense.
And this is what you were talking about yesterday?
Yes, sir. The landlord of the Lamb, Jamie Bell, he's an ex-con.
Oh?
Well, a long time ago, sir. The point is that when he went for a licence, well, I didn't speak against him.
You stuck your neck out?
Yeah, I know you don't approve of that sort of thing, sir, but he's always been a good source. Well, I could name four or five that he's helped put away.
All right.
Anyway, he reckons he owes me one and he got in touch. Oh, God, look, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not making a lot of sense.
Enough, Fred. I'll go and talk to him. You'd better go and do something about that head of yours. Preferably keep it low for the rest of the day.
He won't talk to you, sir.
Who?
Jamie Bell. He doesn't like policemen.
It seems that not many people do.
I don't talk to coppers.
I'm not a copper, Jamie.
It's Mr. Bell to you, Inspector.
I'm a friend of Sergeant... of Fred Astor, Mr. Bell. Now, he's not a well man this morning... But I gather that had it not been for you, he might have been a deal worse.
He should watch who he drinks with.
We've discussed that. Who was he drinking with?
I've just told you I don't talk to coppers.
And I've just told you that I'm here as a friend of Fred Astor.
And I suppose that's little Mary Sunshine.
But he's my driver. Somebody has to get Astor's car back.
Well, in that uniform, he looks very much like a copper to me.
Constable Trench, would you like to go and stay with the car?
Sir?
Make sure nobody steals it.
It'll be all right, sir.
Just go and stand by the car.
Oh, very good, sir.
So, tell me about these people.
I don't know anything about them.
But you talked to us, to Fred about them.
I owe Fred. Now, all I can tell you is that they were heavy. I've done time, I reckon you know that. But I've never done anybody any harm. With me, it was just a way of life. But I've seen the heavy lads, so I'll call Fred.
Well, you must have had something to go on.
No. I'll listen to them talk. They've got something big going on, so I don't want them doing it in my pub. That's why I call Fred.
What were they doing in your pub?
You mean because I'm an ex-con?
No.
I do rooms here. Anybody can use them. But I also asked myself why they were staying here. These people can stay at the best, so why are they staying in a pub? And I reckon it's because they don't want to draw attention to themselves.
Well, they certainly did that last night.
Why?
Does the name Paisley mean anything to you? Known as One Lung Paisley?
Nothing.
Well, he's the man calling himself Peacock.
All I know about him is that he's a nutter. Now, I don't know anybody. On my own patch, I know everyone and they know me, which is why I am where I am. I've got a good, clean life down here. I just thought I could do Fred a favour. For old time's sake.
Well, they haven't caused any trouble up to now.
There's still 2 days of the races to go.
No, you can't go today, Inspector. You're going tomorrow. I'm told it's the best day of the meeting, by the way.
I'm not interested in the social aspect.
And you have not given me any reason to believe that a more overt police presence would be appropriate.
2 known villains, ma'am. 1 with convictions for assault, grievous bodily harm...
If we checked everybody attending the race meeting, we would find enough felons to fill Winchester prison. Horse racing traditionally attracts these people. Most of them are there to find an easy way to get rich quickly.
Exactly, ma'am.
Give me some evidence, Inspector. Convince me that your friends are going to commit some major crime and I will alert Berkshire.
I just have this feeling.
Oh, one of your hunches, Inspector.
Good grief.
I beg your pardon.
Nothing, ma'am.
You know how I feel about hunches.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll talk to Superintendent Henshaw. He'll be your host tomorrow. Nothing is going to get past him, and he is well aware of what to expect at racetracks. You relax. Go along and enjoy yourself, Inspector.
Hey, Terry.
Oh, Sarge?
Are you busy?
Well, there's always something.
I mean tomorrow.
Do
you fancy a day at the races?
Me? Is this a joke?
On duty, mind.
Oh, in uniform.
Afraid so, Terry. But I'll make a change from logging the traffic offences.
Yes, I'd love it.
Good, I can fix it. I figure I owe it to you after last night.
Are you all right now?
Not so bad. Managed to get my head down for a couple of hours.
How did you manage to do that?
Shh, ask no questions, Terry. Let's just say that I owe Sergeant Kerrigan a pint for making sure nobody went near number 3 interview room for a while. By the way, you haven't said a word of this.
It's none of my business, Sarge.
Good.
I mean, anybody's entitled to have a drink or two on a night off.
Terry, I wasn't drinking. Oh, never mind.
You could have fooled me.
Those people I was with were villains.
And you were drinking with them?
You're winding me up. I could just change my mind about tomorrow.
She said it as if I was on my way to a party. Relax and have fun.
Then why don't you, Ronnie?
What do you mean?
In all the years at Kirkcaldry, you never brought your work home with you. Unless it was something amusing that had happened. Since we've come south, you've not stopped complaining.
I'm not complaining, Margaret.
No, not complaining, but I have been constantly aware of your problems.
But that blasted woman seems determined to treat this whole business as a church fete. Whereas I know that 3 villains have arrived in the area with the intent to commit a crime of some sort.
Perhaps they've already committed it.
I hope not.
You're assuming that whatever they're up to will take place tomorrow. They could have done whatever it was they were planning to do and already be on their way back to London.
And it arrives on my desk tomorrow morning.
But didn't you say it would be the Berkshire force?
Yeah, well, that would serve them right.
Oh, dear. We are in our worst little boy sucks boot to you mood, aren't we? Oh, let me get you another drink. Dinner will be 30 minutes yet.
Well, it would serve them right, wouldn't it? Thank you.
By the way, that blasted woman, is that the same one who is suggesting you spend an afternoon at the cricket with her?
What? Oh, did I call her that?
I assumed it was the same one.
Well, she is being particularly obtuse about this business.
Not trusting your famous hunches.
Margaret, these men are hard cases.
Who might even just be down here for a few days' escape from the daily treadmill of planning crime. Here, nurse that while I see to the meal. And tomorrow, you take Bab's advice. Relax and enjoy yourself.
Well, you look as if you backed a loser in the first and have little confidence in your choice for this one.
Oh, do I? I'm sorry.
You must be Inspector Coleman.
Yes.
Yeah, well, let me introduce myself. Jack Henshaw, Berkshire.
Oh, yes, sir.
Can I get that glass of yours topped up?
No, thank you, sir.
I had a call from Babs.
Babs?
Oh, sorry, Superintendent Beecham. Always call her Babs.
Ah.
Attractive woman.
Oh, strikingly so.
And a first-rate policeman. Make no mistake about that.
I wasn't going to, sir.
She tells me you think there's something afoot today.
Well, all I know is that some villains from London...
How many?
3 that we know of.
Oof, 3 dozen, more like.
Sir?
And a great deal more than that. Race meetings attract them. From the card sharps to the pickpocket and straightforward bag snatchers. There's nothing to do with the sport. The crowds attract them. You know that.
Yes, sir.
Well, you can't blame them. There are idiots out there pulling wads of 5s and 10s out of back pockets, anxious to throw it away on some half-winded nag. And if they get lucky, they stand there counting the winnings out in the open before they head for the bar to spread a little largesse. is enough to tempt a Mother Teresa.
I think my boys are heavier than that.
Oh, I'm sure they are, Inspector. Yeah, rest assured, we are aware. If they're here...
Oh, they're here, sir.
Well, you've seen them.
Not yet, sir. My men are keeping a sharp eye.
Yeah, and so are mine. Now, there's very little more that we can do other than enjoy ourselves. There's got to be the occasional perk in our job. Yeah, we'll pay the price on Monday when today's little crime wave catches up with us. Now, more of the moe.
No, thank you, sir. I'll just go and see how my men are getting on.
Oh.
Are you sure you know what you're doing, Terry?
Well, it's only a hunch, Sarge, but I reckon that it all adds up.
Tell me again.
Well, the first thing you have to know is how their minds work.
Yeah, but you said there was no form.
Oh, there's got to be a first time, Sarge. But look at the parents. Both of them have got loads of form.
It doesn't follow that the offspring...
They used to tell us at Ashford that it often runs in the family.
Yeah, but they were talking about villains.
And it's the same with horses. Oh, will you do it for me, Sarge? I can't do it in uniform.
No.
All right.
You want a pound to win?
On the tote. They're showing better odds. And why not risk a penny or two yourself, Sarge?
Your ticket, sir.
What?
Your ticket, sir.
Oh, what place is this, then?
The member stand.
And who gets in here?
People who are members.
And who do you have to be a member?
Preferably somebody wealthy.
Ah, I see.
Excuse me, sir. Are you a member?
Oh, no. Coleman, Inspector.
Ah, are you looking for somebody?
Yes, I am. A bit like a needle in a haystack.
Can I help?
No. Thank you. Ah!
Is that one of them?
What? Yes, down there. Oh, damn, I'm going to lose him.
Light grey suit, dark hair, red tie, furtive expression?
Yes.
Leave it to me, sir.
No, it's all right.
No problem, sir. Tango 2, Tango 2 to main ring.
I only want to...
Suspect light suit, dark hair, red tie.
Oh, well, why not?
Heading directly toward you. Detain in wait, no force. Question only.
I tell you, I'm a police officer.
Don't struggle. I just want to ask you some questions.
If you'll just let me reach slowly into
just
my inside...
Your hands by your side.
Oh, you're not going to believe this, sir.
Hello, Fred. What have you been up to?
Nothing, sir. These two goons suddenly jumped on me.
I hope they did not.
What's going on?
You shouldn't look so furtive, Fred.
Is there some mistake?
No, not at all. I'm very impressed. Very efficient.
We are trained, sir.
Yes, well, you can leave him to me now. Many thanks.
No problem, sir.
What's going on, sir?
A case of mistaken identity. Right, have you seen them yet?
Hmm?
What's that in your hand?
I was just putting a bet on, sir.
Fred?
Oh, no. Not me, sir. You know me, sir.
Everybody seems to be catching the atmosphere. This is not a day out, Fred.
No, sir.
Have you seen them yet?
I haven't.
Too busy placing bets. Well, I'm certain they're here. And whatever they're here for, they haven't done it yet.
Well, would you believe that? If it ain't our police, my friend. Getting into trouble again, will you? How are you, Fred? How's the head?
It's good enough.
Gerald Paisley, isn't it?
Never heard of him. Who's your friend?
Inspector Coleman, Southampton Central.
Bit off your beat, ain't you?
You'll be Graham, Michael Graham. And Edward Durbridge.
What's it to you?
Nothing at the moment.
Well, very nice to have met you.
Well, I hope your sergeant there hasn't been telling tales out of school.
Come on, leave it out, Jerry.
My sergeant can look after himself. And as you mention it, you're a long way off your usual patch, aren't you, Paisley?
The name is Peacock.
Yeah, I don't care what you call yourself. You still have a string of convictions for GBH, aggravated burglary...
Three! I've got three! You're giving me a bad name, Inspector.
Oi! What's it to you, anyway?
I have to ask myself what known villains are
doing...
You've
got nothing on me.
I have to ask myself what known villains are doing so far away from home.
Minding our own business.
That's right, Ted. Having a day out, Inspector. Don't you ever have a day out?
Not while the likes of you gentlemen are walking free.
You've got no right to say that. I could have you stitched up for libel saying things like that.
All right, take it easy, Mike. Don't let him get you.
Look, we're entitled to go to the races, Inspector. No law against that, is there? Having a little flutter, that's all there is to it. We're just three honest citizens, all right?
And I'm going to make quite sure you stay that way.
Look, I'll tell you what you do, Inspector. You can have your sergeant there join us. Keep an eye on us. I might even buy him a drink at the end of the day.
You listen to me.
That's enough, Sergeant.
Oh, you got to laugh, haven't you?
Come on, Jerry.
All right, Ted. Look, Don't want to spoil a nice day out talking to the filth. I'll tell you what, Fred, do yourself a favour and put a few quid on the jester in the next race.
They're up to something, sir. Far too damned confident.
We know that, Fred. The problem is what?
Might be an idea to put somebody onto them.
No, they'd love us to do that. They asked us to do it.
If they're not up to anything, maybe somebody else is.
Yes, but who?
Maybe they're just here to make sure something happens.
Enforcers?
Or maybe to cash in on it when it happens.
Well, that's more like it, Fred. Horse doping, something like that?
Excuse me, sir. Inspector Coleman, sir.
Well, here's the expert on horses. Yes, Trench?
Well, I wonder, sir, I wonder whether you could take a look at somebody.
Who?
This way, sir.
Who is it, Terry?
I don't know. He must be an owner. Or maybe a trainer.
Well, you'll have lost him by now.
Oh, no, sir. He's not going anywhere for a minute or two. There, sir. In the saddling enclosure.
Which one, Constable?
That one there, sir.
With the one talking to his horse?
I don't think he's talking to his horse, sir. I think he's talking to his jockey, who is standing on the other side of the horse.
Ah. Yes, of course.
What about him, Terry?
Well, he was in the pub the night that you were having a drink with those people.
I wasn't having a drink.
What are you saying, Constable?
Well, I'm saying, sir, that he came in just as we were leaving. And he'd obviously come in to see them, but they didn't want to know him. They told him to clear off.
You're sure?
Oh, yes, sir.
And who is he?
Well, I've got a race card here.
Oh, good grief.
Give it here.
Police officers in uniform do not stand around studying race cards, Trench.
I know that, sir. I went to the toilets when I wanted to study.
Number 10, Son of York. Owned by Mrs. G. Bishop, trained by B. Slater.
That's him, sir. Bernard. They called him Bernard.
Well done, Terry.
Ah, they're mounting up.
Right. The next move is to see the man in charge here.
Clerk of the course, sir.
Good. Fred, come with me.
Oh, do you mind if I stay around down here, sir? Only that's my horse, Son of York. I've got a pound on it to win.
Ah, come to join us, Inspector. Let me find you a glass.
I'm all right, sir. My sergeant's waiting for me.
Could be a bit of a problem. There's plenty of champers. Thank goodness they know what to expect when we descend on them in force. No, clean glasses are the problem.
I was looking for the clerk of the course.
Oh, he's not here, old chap. Far too busy. Well, is there a difficulty?
Well, I think there might be, Superintendent. Something about this race.
Ah, well, the person you want is Brigadier Mike Bembridge-Jones, Chairman of the Stewards. Nothing gets past Mike. Do stop fretting. Come on, meet some of our people.
Now, honestly, sir, my sergeant is waiting. I don't think I have time for
that. Weighed in.
What does that mean, Brigadier?
It means we accept the result of the race.
Despite the fact that we know that something's going on?
Sadly, there's nothing illegal in what has happened.
Have you checked the horse for dope, sir?
As a matter of routine, Sergeant. Any horse that wins under those circumstances would automatically be tested.
Well, then...
We'll not find any trace of a forbidden substance there, Inspector. Ah, come. Come in, Bernard. Do take a seat. I expect you know why I've asked you to drop by. Now, you don't know Inspector Coleman and Sergeant...
Astor.
Sergeant Astor?
Police?
This is Bernard Slater, trainer of Son of York.
Well, what are the police doing here?
Bernard... You heard what my fellow stewards have had to say. A rather surprising win.
No.
Did you have a few pennies on him?
Well, I always have a bet. You know that, Michael.
Yes. It would be interesting to know how much you laid out this time.
Son of York won fair and square.
I don't doubt that for one moment, Bernard. I'm questioning the odds.
The going suited him.
Yes, indeed. And the longer distance.
You don't always find a horse's best distance.
Poppycock, Bernard. Inspector, I will explain this for your benefit.
I've done nothing.
Will you keep quiet, Bernard? Inspector, a good trainer, and Mr. Slater is a good trainer, if a little greedy...
No, you have no right...
A good trainer knows the horse's potential before he enters it for its first race.
Now, that's not necessarily...
Of course, a horse may alter with age. It may never do anything on the flat and turn out to be a natural jumper later. But I repeat my basic premise... And when a horse like Son of York is run consistently over short distances in heavy going...
That's muddy underfoot, sir.
Yes.
Precisely. And when that horse never does better than sixth under those conditions, and when that horse has travelled some hundreds of miles to run for the first time on firm going over a mile and a half, and wins by a length... Well, Bernard...
But I thought he was worth the outing.
Of course he was worth the outing. at the completely false odds, based on no previous form, of 9-1. Yes, Bernard, he was worth the outing.
I've done nothing illegal.
Sadly, you have not.
So if that's why you've got the police...
They're here on a totally different matter. However, you know what we think of sharp practice, Bernard.
There's no sharp practice.
Please don't insult my intelligence, Bernard, nor that of my colleagues. We shall have a very beady eye on you in future. Remember that when you reapply for your license. Inspector?
Thank you. Mr. Slater, can you explain your relationship with Gerald Paisley? Or perhaps you know him as Gerald Peacock.
Well, I don't think
you
I
met
know
him at
any...
a pub called The Lamb the night before last.
The Lamb. I did go to a pub. I didn't
Brigadier Bembridge-Jones informs me you train in Yorkshire.
Yes.
Well, quite a coincidence, wouldn't you say? They were a long way from home. And you happen to choose a small pub rather off the beaten track to have a drink, and you meet known criminals there.
I had no idea.
That they were criminals.
I did meet some people there. Yes, I remember we got talking about racing, but I had no idea...
Just chance acquaintances.
I could hardly know they were criminals.
Well, you do now, Mr. Slater. Thank you, Brigadier.
It really does all look rather messy, doesn't it? We go to great lengths to keep the sport clean, Bernard. Do remember that. There's a good chap.
Now look, Michael, you know me.
It seems that I don't. Thank you, Bernard. That will be all.
I really do resent any inference that anything untoward...
Yes, I'm sure you do, Bernard.
I wouldn't like to see if you ever got angry, sir.
I despise people like Slater. The sport has given him a good living. He has a couple of good horses in his stables. Yet he still tries to make that little bit on the side by methods that are distinctly dubious.
But not illegal.
There's nothing illegal about misleading the public concerning a horse's true potential.
He was also trying to mislead me about his relationship with Peacock. Mm. We're quite sure he went to the Lamb specifically to meet him.
Well, he has a second horse running in the fifth, King's Error.
Terry Trench says that one's worth a bet, too. He reckons Slater hasn't brought them all this way just to give them an outing.
But he's not trying the same thing twice. King's Error has some form. Stands a chance. It should certainly get placed.
Oh, is that a tip?
Certainly not, Inspector. I've been in the sport too long not to know that trying to find a winner is truly a mug's game.
You stupid bloody bastard.
I didn't know the police were involved.
They're not involved. They were never involved. Not until you got them involved.
They got no bloody idea what's going on.
You know, that makes me laugh. I could tear your face off.
All right, Jerry.
It's not bloody all right, Durbridge. I've done a bundle on that race. His stupid horse coming out of nowhere and dust me up.
But we're gonna get it back on the next one. Aren't we, Slater?
I can't.
Oh, yes, you can.
They're on to me.
Because you had to get greedy. I mean, how much did you make out of that little caper, eh? 30 bob in prize money and a bet on the side. And how much are you going to make on the next race? You make me sick, Slater.
He didn't even put us in for a touch of it, did he? I've done a bundle on some bloody neck.
I didn't know the police.
Not the police. I've done my cobbler's hire. Bloody jester. Ought to be in a necker's yard.
Oh, shut up about your bloody horse,
don't
Jerry.
You ever told me to shut up, Graham.
All right. It's all right, Jerry. Take it easy. Mike didn't mean that.
That kid doesn't tell me to shut up.
But we've all got a bit upset, thanks to this stupid ponce.
I didn't know the police. Anyway, what were they doing in the pub the other night? What's going on?
You keep your nose out of it, you...
You ain't been so bloody clever, Jerry. You've done your best to screw this. God, I've got to get involved with a psycho.
Oh, bloody...
Shut up! I just look at it this way, Slater. There is a lot of money invested in this next race. Now, you can see that Jerry is a little upset already. Well, there's a lot of people in London who are going to be even more upset if they lose their investment. You might even be pleased if I was to leave you to Jerry to sort it out.
You can't threaten me.
I'm not threatening you, Slater. I don't threaten people, do I, Mike?
Nah, just tell them, Ted.
That's it. I tell people, Slater. I don't threaten anybody. I tell. You got that?
But we can't get away with it. They're watching me.
Now, let's just go through it.
You don't understand.
The horse is checked in, right?
Yes, but...
Just listen. Listen, all right? King's Error is checked in And all that DNA stuff you was talking about is kosher.
Yes, but they'll check the horse after the race. They're bound to after that last race.
And whose fault is that, eh?
All right, Michael. So what? What are they going to check it for? Dope?
Yes.
And they're not going to find any, are they?
Well, that's not the point.
That is exactly the point, Slater. A horse is here with the correct, what did you call it, passport? Mm. It's clean, isn't it? A horse wins a race by maybe half a length. That's down to your jockey. And you'd better make bloody sure he makes it look good. Nothing flash. Then the vet checks the horse and it's still clean. So where's the problem? Wade in.
It's all changed now. I can't do it. I can't do it.
You're being very elusive this afternoon, Coleman.
Well, it hasn't turned out to be the most relaxing of days.
Oh, well, let me find your glass. Then I want you to meet Mrs. Henshaw. Oh, well, she was there a minute ago. They'd probably gone to have a flutter on the next race.
Are you a gambling man, sir?
Oh, good Lord, no. I haven't seen a horse all day.
Would Inspector Coleman please come to the chairman of the steward's office?
Oh, dear. I'm afraid that champagne will have to wait, sir.
Yeah, obviously. Is there something up, Inspector?
I can't be certain, Inspector. I can only say that it is rather peculiar. When the steward saw Slater's horse box leaving the course, he realised that Slater still had King's Error running in the fifth. We had no notice of any withdrawal, and there seemed to be no reason for him to be leaving.
Did your man try to stop him?
No. I understand that Slater himself...
Slater hasn't left the course.
Not to my knowledge. The point is that the steward then saw that he had a second horse box, which was still here.
Slater?
Yeah. Now he has two horses running today, and for that he only needs to travel one horse box. Yet he brings two.
Another horse?
It's a possibility.
One that he wants nobody to know about.
This is all conjecture.
But perfectly logical conjecture, Brigadier. I want to know what's in that horse box. Can I use your phone?
Tell me again, Sergeant.
He might well be going north on the A34, sir.
Yeah.
On the other hand, he might travel the side roads. Inspector Coleman's getting our islander up. They'll find him from the air if you can stop him.
And what crime is being committed?
I don't know, sir.
And you want me to alert my cars on a whim?
Yes, sir.
Right. Lead me to this phone, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir.
Your Inspector Coleman seems determined to ruin everybody's day, doesn't he?
And as they go for the final furlong, it's King's Error. King's Error is still going half a length in front of Blue Fox and Gaining Fast. And they go into the final furlong.
I'm still not certain what's been going on, Inspector.
I have a suspicion that finally nothing has been going on, sir.
Well, so, what have we prevented?
Brigadier?
A ringer, Superintendent. I believe Buckfast Bell was going to run instead of King's Error. You see, every horse has its own DNA.
Sounds very sophisticated.
Oh, it is. A great deal has been done to minimise the possibility of anybody bringing the sport into disrepute. When King's Error arrived at the course this morning, his passport, his DNA, was checked as a matter of routine.
And that horse that we picked up, Buckfast Bell?
Buckfast Bell. A class horse in a very different league from King's Error, and also trained by Slater.
And you think he was going to substitute that horse?
I'm certain of it, Superintendent.
And he'd have got away with it?
Well, the horses are very similar. The owner would know the difference, of course, and the trainer and the jockey. We'd done our work, and after the race, the vet would have taken a routine dope test, but he would not be expected to know which horse he was testing. There were over 80 horses entered for today's racing.
But what was Slater hoping to gain? Prize money? A side bet?
I think you might be close, Inspector. The side bet. There's been a surprising amount of money bet against King's Error today. Enough to shorten the odds on the favourite Blue Flotsam, and lengthen the odds against King's Error by possibly a couple of points. You said that Slater was associating with known criminals.
Are you suggesting they were betting against King's Error? But why the presence of this other horse?
Buckfast Bell. I am suggesting that for an outlay of some hundreds, you can substantially affect the odds on any horse at a comparatively small meeting like today's. It would be interesting to find out how much money was bet on King's Error off the course. Betting shops who pay out at the starting price odds given at the course.
Well, they've lost their money.
But not if Buckfast Bell had run in King's Error's colours.
Ah.
Short of breaking a leg, she would have been a certainty in that field.
Good Lord. A betting ring.
Investing possibly many thousands on a racing certainty whose odds have been manipulated on the course.
And at the end of the day, we have no rest.
You can be sure that we shall make life very difficult for Mr. Slater in the future, Superintendent.
Oh, damn.
Well, we're always told that crime prevention is
Don't you believe a word of it, Inspector. Nothing would have been better at the end of a pleasant day out than a high-profile arrest to get our picture in the papers. Can I use your phone?
Of course.
I suppose there'll be any champagne left. Henshaw here. You're holding a horse box driver and a horse. Put the fear of God into him and let him go.
So Jerry Paisley, Peacock, is at the back of all this.
No, he hasn't committed the crime.
Yes, sir.
Just make sure that he never feels
so
inclined.
Stop at Jamie Bell's pub on the way home.
Yes, they might still be there.
They did this.
Oh, come on, Jamie.
I told you once that as far as you are concerned, my name is Mr. Bell.
Have it any way you like, but you can't let them get away with it.
They might come back, Jamie.
No, they won't come back. You know the rules, Fred. I've paid.
We can make sure they don't come back. Help us, and we can put them away.
Oh, is that what you reckon? And what are you going to charge them with, Inspector? Causing an affray? Malicious damage? And how long are you going to put them away for? A few months? A year? Peacock and that bunch are just the front men. A lot of very heavy people have lost a lot of money. Now, I don't know who these people are, and I don't care. I've paid.
If you help us, there are ways we can help.
Oh, bugger your help, Fred. You've done enough just being seen talking to me.
You called me, Jamie.
No, I tried to return a favour. Well, I've learned, haven't I? Look, can't you get it into your thick policemen's heads that I can't help you because I didn't see anybody? I didn't see that psychotic bastard while he held a broken bottle to my wife's face. And I didn't see the other two while they smashed my windows, my furniture. I didn't see them while they destroyed my entire stock. I didn't see them, Fred. You understand that?
Yes. If you change your mind...
Oh, sure.
And if there's anything I can do...
Aye, there is. You can get out. I'm opening this place up soon and I've got a lot of cleaning up to do. Me and the wife. No bugger's going to come, but I'm opening up for business.
I take it you don't want this reported. Insurance.
Who are you kidding?
Well, you know where to find us.
Yeah. Fred.
Yeah?
You did me a favour once. Do me another one now, will you? Don't come back.
Come on, Margaret. What are we celebrating?
Well, if you must know... I had a little bit of luck today.
Oh?
I don't suppose you know Mr. Brimley. He runs the hardware shop in the village. I happened to mention where you were today, and he gave me a tip.
For a horse?
I didn't really understand, but a trainer had come all the way from Yorkshire, especially to race his horse over a longer distance than they have in Yorkshire. Does that make sense to you?
Son of York.
That's the one.
Margaret, that trainer is a crook.
Well, I don't care. Mr. Brimley put a bet on for me, and I won over £10. So I thought, a little celebration...
But this champagne cost well over £20.
Oh, Ronald. There are times when I find your policeman's mind very boring.
Morning, Terry.
Morning, Sarge.
Are you all right?
No, I'm all right.
You look as miserable as the Aberdonian who went out shopping on a flag day.
I hate racist jokes.
So what's wrong?
Yesterday. That trainer with those villains from London.
Yeah?
Well, I got to thinking, and it struck me that if he'd come all that way, and if he had a second horse running, and then being a bit bent...
King's Error? You backed it?
Quite a bit.
Oh, Terry.
Well, I got good odds, mind. But the thing is, I'm not sure I can see myself clear to payday now.
Ah, cheer up. I'll buy you a pint this evening. You know, I don't know much about this Bram's Hill College.
Yes, all right, Sarge.
But one thing I did learn on the streets of Glasgow was that racing is a right mug's game.
You had quite an exciting day yesterday.
Yes, ma'am.
I've had Ted Henshaw on the phone. Pity you couldn't get an arrest, but he's full of praise for your alertness.
We had a fair amount of luck.
That's a much underrated aspect of our work.
And I did appreciate Superintendent Henshaw's instant reaction to what was little more than a hunch.
His appearance can be deceptive. He's a good copper. This London gang, anything there?
Afraid not. As far as we're concerned, they didn't do anything. Except lose a lot of money.
Well, you know what they say about horse racing, Inspector.
Yes, ma'am. It's a mug's game.
A Day at the Races in the Coleman and Astor series starred Stephen Thorne as Inspector Coleman and Joe Dunlop as Sergeant Astor. Margaret Coleman was played by Diana Bishop, Superintendent Beecham, Francis Jeter, and P.C. Trench, Nicholas Bolton. One Lung Peacock, John Hartley, Jamie, Larry Dan, Mike Graham, McCartney Brown, and Ted Durbridge, Breffni McKenna. Superintendent Henshaw, Gareth Armstrong, the steward, David Jarvis, Bembridge Jones, David Sinclair, Slater, James Taylor, and the customer in the pub, Don McCorkindale. The series is written by Michael McStay. Theme music by Stephen Warbeck. The series producer is Jane Morgan, and the director was Ned Shiey.